We are very honored this evening to have John McCann, our second vice president of the American Council of the Blind, who has come here this evening on behalf of the American Council of the Blind to give an ACB report. So let's give him a big hand. And if we can get a mic to him. It's almost like getting from Arizona here.
Yes.
Well, we're informal. And there's a mic right in front of you.
Okay. Well,
it's on a little stand.
Hang tight.
Okay. Oh, well, this mic is a lot hotter than the ones that have heretofore been in play. At least that's my sense of it. Indeed, we are in laid-back California, apparently. This is, I think, the first time that I've ever delivered a speech of this nature sitting down. But it works for me. It's truly an honor to be here. I thank CCB and Jeff Tom for the invitation. Always an honor to represent ACB, and particularly before an affiliate with the kind of history that CCB most assuredly has. I want to thank you for several things. In addition to that, thank you for the lack of time change. I appreciate that. Do you realize that 8 months out of the year, there are only three other states that could qualify to provide that to me? Oregon, Nevada, and Washington, I think. Seeing since Washington has their conference in November, at which time Arizona will stay on Mountain Time, and back goes the whole West Coast to Pacific Standard. There'd be a time change there. I also noted with interest, and you've got the nice program, and there was an insert, sort of a separate thing because it didn't get included. I read the top of it, and it said, "Always feel the warmth." I had flown out of Tucson where it was 85 degrees. I arrived in San Diego and it was 60. It sounded like false advertising. I don't know. Well, two components to this. I obviously want to bring you up to speed on what's been happening in ACB. Basically, it's all good. I'm going to hit the highlights because I trust that as good council members, you've been faithfully reading your Braille forms, and so you're pretty much up on things, but never hurts to reinforce some stuff. Since the last convention, quite a number of good things have been happening. Since I am the board liaison to the Twitter team, and since, as Kim once said about me, I'm passionate about social media, I'll tell you that the Twitter account is up to, is in the 1,300 range, 1,311, so we're happy about that. And recently we had 2,010 likes on Facebook and quite a number of other impressive stats there. So the social media presence is doing rather well. I want to see it continue to take that trajectory, and I have every expectation that it will. Apropos of that, I'll share with you that I believe that social media can be a very, very important tool in the toolbox of tools, boy, that's redundant, that you can and should use to recruit members, particularly new young members. Having said that, my point, I suppose, would be that BITS we'll be doing a session on how you can use Twitter in particular as basically a membership engagement tool. I'll put it that way, and I hope that folks will consider that. Well, there's been a lot said here today about advocacy. I was very, very pleased to have attended the session where Abby Tamara and Cecilia McGinnis spoke about the advocacy that they had done. Well, there's individual advocacy, as they said, and then there's assisted advocacy, which is where you have somebody going forward with an attorney, because that's what's required. But I think there's another dynamic that we need to talk about, and I'm going to sound like a child of the 60s here, but I do so without apology, mass advocacy. I think it is imperative that we never lose sight of the fact to engage in this kind of mass advocacy, because I'll state it very frankly, the landscape isn't really all that rosy. I joined the American Council of the Blind some 35, 36 years ago, right out of law school, because I was interested in advocacy, because I knew that things really needed to be better for blind folks. Yeah, we had, some successes, and we had this sort of perhaps preferential status and the Social Security law and things of that nature, but there were things on the horizon where we were very much in danger of being left out. I was drawn to advocacy. One of the first pieces of advocacy that I was heavily involved in with a positive result, I was in the state of Virginia at the time, and I worked with the Old Dominion Council of the Blind. We were one of the parties that were instrumental in moving forward the Virginians with Disabilities Act, which antedated the ADA by some 5 years. Then, of course, we did some advocacy for the ADA, but more particularly, I remember the advocacy we did when it all came to detectable warnings. And we have a metro system, as does San Francisco, I know, but Washington, D.C. has what they call the metro, being very French about it. And boy, there were some battle royals about detectable warnings. And we picketed, we used megaphones, and the guy who was at the helm of the organization at the time was David Gunn. So I remember, David Gunn, get it done. There is someone who is in Northern California who will remember that very, very well, as the individual was in California at the time. Actually, Jennifer Sutton is whom I'm speaking of, and she'll remember that. So ACB is doing actually very well with advocacy, and I'm very happy about that, to say the least. Eric has forged some very, very good relationships with entities, particularly in the area of technology. I think perhaps one of the biggest things that's happened since the last convention in Dallas was a partnership with Microsoft, and that came about due to a meeting that was held on November 7th, and WBU was also a part of that, as Mitch knows. But that meeting was prompted by the fact that on July 29th, Microsoft had come out with Windows 10. Windows 10 had some very, very substantial accessibility problems. Its Edge browser was not accessible, and there were also some severe difficulties, as I understand it, with the Outlook, the version of Outlook that comes with Windows 10. There's a limit to how much I can say, but I will say this much. Thanks to the efforts of ACB, in conjunction with some others, and I'll use the word, I would be shocked, if Microsoft ever again does something like that. That's advocacy, boys and girls. In a nutshell, that's advocacy, and that's the kind of advocacy we need. I can't stress it enough. I've heard a lot here today, and the same would be the case, I dare say, at any other convention that I would attend. People are concerned about fundraising. People are concerned about how to effectively conduct meetings in an ever more challenging environment with costs, transportation, things of this nature. But in spite of these challenges, and those challenges are formidable, I don't discount them one bit, but we can never lose sight of the need for collective advocacy. And again, I sound like a child of the 60s. I have to commend Mitch for turning me on to a book, or at least making me aware of it, and I read it right around this time last year. It's called Bowling Alone. It's by a Harvard professor. And basically, it sets up the premise that organizations, membership organizations generally, are having a harder time retaining members, that we're just not as much of a volunteer society as we used to be. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if I'm overly concerned if there are less veterans at the VFW imbibing very, very inexpensive drinks. I have to commend them for that. You never have to pay too much at a VFW for a good, you know, for a good drink. I don't care if there are less people at the Moose Lodge or the Raccoon Lodge. Well, I don't think there is one. That's a figment of Jackie Gleason's imagination. You know, with a doff of the cap to Cramden and Norton, you know. But I do very much care if we don't have the critical mass of blind people who are advocating for our needs, our interests. That would be a very problematic situation indeed. So, I'm sure there's other stuff that I have forgotten. I hope not. But perhaps it sets up an opportunity to engage with some questions, if you wish to do that. No questions? Well, while that's happening, I'll take the opportunity to say that I think there's some good movement on our, and I commend Mitch for this as well, the advisory board. We do have an advisory board, and more people are being approached, and I think there's some interest. I don't want to come forward with a name, but somebody even just contacted me today. Actually, it was somebody who's, that my brother has come in contact with, and I don't know where that's going to go. And it's probably premature to say much of anything there, but Mitch had an excellent idea in bringing that forward, getting entree into areas that are important to us. Technology, I can't say enough about the contribution that ACB Link. How many people here have ACB Link? ACB Link? My fellow Arizonan, and he has been there a lot longer than I have. Jeff Bishop brought that to fruition, you know, through his contact, and that's an excellent addition, an excellent, again, tool that we have in the toolbox of outreach to members. You know, very important. Didn't want to forget to mention those two things. Legislatively, as you know, we're pursuing the Cogswell-Macy Act, and there is a call-in, I think, on April 14th. For that event. I'd have to refresh my memory on that, but I quite, again, hopefully leadership list posts of general interest are being distributed to your organization. So, again, be mindful of the fact that on April 14th there will be a push to bring some pressure to bear, which is on that piece of legislation, which is critically important to blind and visually the education of blind and visually impaired children in the K-12 arena or setting. Okay.
Oh. May I ask my question now?
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks. This is Bonnie Rennie. In reference to an article by Tony Stevens in the March Forum and apparently covered in the legislative seminar, it was mentioned, and I'm hoping you have a little more info on this. He mentioned in passing that the DOJ has determined to forego, I think those were his actual words, rulemaking on web accessibility, and that's literally all it said about that, and secondly, other regulations regarding the CVAA. And this should be of great concern to all of us if it literally means what that short sentence said. So what more do you know about it, and do you know anything about how it's being addressed and what we all could do to help? Thanks.
That was a correct statement by Tony Stevens, and at the legislative seminar, one of the priorities that we had and that was spoke that people who went up onto the Hill were asked to speak with their congressmen and senators about was bringing pressure to bear on DOJ to move forward with those regulations. DOJ has indeed declared its intent to punt those until 2018. The blindness community is taking the position, that really isn't going to fly if we have anything to say about it. So the only thing that we can do is have a letter-writing campaign from Congress to bring pressure on DOJ. But pressure is the only thing that can be done. It's called separation of powers. and that's where we are with that. But again, this brings us back to advocacy, and it brings up to mind the point I wanted to make earlier. I mean, there are so many things that really require effective advocacy anymore. Do you think we are anywhere that we need to be with respect to the enforcement of 508? Right? Anybody happy with the state of affairs with Lyft and Uber with respect to guide dogs? Okay. You know, I think it's been said that people mellow as they age, but I tell you the truth, and I'll risk saying it even, you know, with this bully pulpit, I swear as I get older, I get a little bit more radicalized on defending the legitimate rights and interests of blind people. And I think more blind people need to get on that bandwagon. So I hope that answers your question about, you know, we're just trying to get pressure from Congress. Any other questions? Okay, I guess. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, here you go.
Okay. Thank you.